Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. Joseph Sternberg, my colleague, he's based in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's a member of the editorial board. And though it is exciting, thrilling, and challenging to talk about the virus and the vaccine all the time, we need to turn to the economy, the much larger story, and the reawakening of the economy globally and in the United States. And with that reawakening is the inflation monster. We know it's there. It might be difficult to see, you know, one of those scary movies where you can't quite see the monster that's coming through the door. Joe has written about inflation these last weeks. Before, I thought it was a big argument on Wall Street. Since then, it's natural. The bond market has been selling off. The Federal Reserve is committed itself to maintaining low rates for several more quarters. However, Joe, plus 916,000 jobs. That was the jobs report right before Easter. That's a gaudy number, 916. I mean, you know, you can get to a million pretty quick. In addition to that, we're looking at hiring across the board, and already small businesses are complaining about not having enough workers. Then we have the ISM, the manufacturing number, that came in with a roaring 64 plus, not seen for many years, and services number, roaring, maybe the best ever. We've got container ships stacked up off of California. We're having warnings that we're going to run out of goods. The shelves are going to be empty because they didn't keep up on inventory. Okay, I'll stop there. I could go on, but is inflation here, Joe? Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a real danger that you're going to start seeing some haywire price movements. I mean, I think that you need to always be careful about what kind of inflation you're talking about. And I am not predicting necessarily that we are going to see the kind of inflation that we had in the 1970s, for example. I think that, each inflationary episode takes on its own, sort of rhythm and its own manifestation. So it is entirely possible that you will never see a huge acceleration in the kind of, sort of consumer price index that a lot of policymakers and professional economists talk about. But that doesn't mean that the prices in the economy will be healthy in any sense that ordinary people would think of that. And in fact, you can already see a lot of evidence if you look at commodities, those price movements are tending to move in sort of unusual ways, at various times. You have a lot of discussion about prices going up for construction materials because there's definitely a home building and home improvement boom going on right now. And I think that the basic phenomenon is that we have not really had a demand-side recession in any sort of traditional sense over the past year. The problem has been that we haven't been allowed to have an economy because of all of the lockdowns. And what you see is that as the lockdowns lift, the jobs are coming back. And yet, Washington, whether it's Congress or the Biden administration or the Fed, keep talking as if they need to pour more and more and more money into stimulating demand in the economy when that isn't really the problem we have. And we shouldn't be surprised that if they're spending trillions of dollars on a problem that they have misdiagnosed, something is going to go wrong somewhere. And I think that one of the places that you look for that is price signals that no longer move in a consistent or predictable way that people can order their economic lives around. And whether you specifically identify that as inflation or whether you want to call it something else, I think that it is a major emerging problem.
Mr. Biden, $1.9 trillion stimulus package. This is for those who are afflicted by the virus. And now talking about, I lose track, Joe, forgive me, is it a $2 trillion or $3 trillion infrastructure bill? This is an enormous amount of money to pour into an economy that doesn't, apparent at this point, need any help whatsoever. It's reawakening itself, Rip Van Winkle just waking up and stretching. So, is that money that Mr. Biden wants to pour into the economy, is that going to create the wrong sort of inflation? the stagflation? Is that what that money can do?
Well, I think that there are definitely the ingredients for a major problem. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to predict for sure that we will have a stagflationary episode. But if you look at what is actually happening here, I mean, first off, there is an enormous introduction of new money and credit into the economy that is going to come as a result of all of the stimulus. And then you also have the productivity problem that is coming from the ways that the government is going to spend all of that money, the industries that they are going to favor, the other industries at the expense of which that's going to come. So, for example, green energy is going to be in, fracking and shale gas is going to be out. And, you know, I think that if you were leaving the market economy to its own devices, you would probably end up with a very different solution to this question of how best do we allocate our investment to meet America's future energy needs. And it's that kind of distortion, in the quote-unquote investment that is what actually can create the stagnation and in the stagflation, because it creates this huge productivity problem. The economy is not going to be able to fire on all cylinders because the government will consistently be trying to thwart, the market's own decisions about where it makes sense to invest.
Mr. Biden, the number changed, but I believe he says that his investment, especially in green energy, is going to create jobs. It's my reading, Joe, that the government doesn't create jobs. However, fine, that's a statement, it's an assertion, perhaps it'll happen, perhaps there'll be subsidies to create jobs for green energy. At the same time, Mr. Biden proposes to pay for, that is, to provide the funds so that there's not more to the deficit, by raising taxes on American corporations and also on corporations that seek their profits overseas, some kind of penalty. I believe the number 15% is used as a minimum. The Secretary of the Treasury, former Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, now Secretary of the Treasury, is talking about a worldwide corporate tax, and the numbers move around. I can't hold them in my mind all the time. I've read, Joe, that there's no special need for the corporate tax, explanation for the corporate tax in America to be at 28, which is Mr. Biden's presentation. I've read that there's no special need for the corporate global corporate tax to be at whatever number Janet Yellen is using. But there is this push for it. Is that inflationary? Does that feed in stagflation? Because as you raise taxes on the corporations, they don't pay them. They pass them on and they cut their workforce or productivity. Yeah, that's what they do. So does that feed stagflation? Worldwide taxes on corporations, U.S. raising taxes on corporations?
Well, I think part of the problem is that you can't tell at the beginning of the process whether a policy like that is going to be stagnationary or inflationary. If I can coin at least one word there, because you can't really predict readily how that is going to affect corporate investment. And the key ingredient here is always market-driven investment to increase productivity in the economy. That is the thing that helps keep your price signals in line and that also staves off broader stagnation as long as you are allowing, entrepreneurs and investors within the economy to invest their money in ways that are going to increase overall productivity over time. And so I think that we need to worry about, anything that will interfere with that process because that will interact in some way that I can't predict and that I'm quite certain that Janet Yellen can't predict. That's going to interact with all of these other issues like the new federal debt that will be coming on, with all of the money that has gone out to individuals, even as the economy has been closed. And it's just a system that is so complicated that you can't really predict, what the outcome will be, except that you can say that none of these are the ingredients that you typically see in a healthy economy. I think that's the important thing to remember here. I mean, this is a big experiment that we can do all of this and not have it fall apart. And it becomes this question of how much do you trust Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or Joe Biden and his economic team to embark on this unprecedented fiscal experiment and not have the wheels come off.
I'd like to say that all is well in America, Joe, in comparison to Europe. And the puzzle here about London, and we're going to turn to London Parks, but I want to know about London talking or Europe talking about America. Is it in the news that we're doing very well? Is it in the news that our vaccine program has given people confidence and that we've started to go back to the office and that the restaurants no longer mandate limitations on the diners in certain states like Connecticut? Does London know how well we're doing?
Yes, I think that, and this is a key point that ties together a bunch of the things that we've discussed this evening, is the fact that we live in a very globalized world. People can see what is happening in other countries, and that is one of the things that is making the political crisis over vaccination within the European Union so acute. They can see the payoff that the U.S. and the U.K. and Israel are getting from their very aggressive, successful vaccination programs. And they can see that, you know, people in the EU are not enjoying the same benefits because their program has not been as successful. Now, you know, there can be downsides of that because the, you know, a lot of politicians here in Europe also see that the Biden administration has unleashed all of the, you know, all of this, you know, new money in these big fiscal programs. And there's an ambition in some parts of Europe to replicate that here. But, you know, I think the, you know, that's an important dynamic that's going on here, are these demonstration effects as people are looking across their borders at what is and is not working elsewhere.
I testify to you, Joe, because you've not been home for several weeks since Christmas, that the Spirit in New York, which has been locked up, you know this, Andrew Cuomo locked us up very severely a year ago, and there's been no special lifting of those lockups, no special thrill, that voluntary request to return to the office for April and May, and that mandatory by September. I see nothing comparable on the continent of Europe and London for mandatory return to the office. That will revive everything here, Joe, and it'll also give us a great boost at, you know, Labor Day. Children go back to school, people go back to the office, and we recover our lives. We're going to turn to London Parks next, because Joe, one of the joys of talking to Joe every week for a year is to watch the beautiful parks of London revive and then go through the winter. And then what are you permitted to do and what you're not permitted to do in the parks of London? Tell you a deal about the success of London in the virus. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.